Hello, respected viewers. Today in the studio of the International Kabbalah Academy, as a guest we have Leonid Makaron, as a guest of Rav Lightman, a professor, leader of director of marketing in the University of Moscow. We're also very glad that you're here. And I came to Israel from America with some news, if you can call it news, with some impressions from America. I can compare what's going on here in Israel. Our first question to Michal Lightman. It's apparent to everyone that the economy is in crisis in the world. There are lots of materials being published on this, and we want to know, how is this crisis different from other crises? What is your opinion on it? How it's different from other ones? This crisis is different from all the other ones in that it's economic, it's internal. Baal HaSalam 80 years ago wrote about this. Kabbalah has been talking about this for a long time. The fact that globalization, the world is called a global village, that everybody is dependent on everybody else, we find that we don't know how to behave in this network. All of our desires, all of our needs, all of our goods and services, all of our natural resources, we're not sure how to treat all of these things that we have. Should we steal as much as possible as usual? But the science of Kabbalah says that unless we connect with each other as much as possible, then we're not going to have any other choices, either willingly or under the blows of nature, which will anyway compel us to be combined with each other, be connected, to the connect internal relationships with each other. And it's not just to your town or your country, to your continent or some region or civilization, but to all of humanity. We have to come to a state in which we entirely exist in a balance with all of nature. So globality is, as a result, it's compelling us to connect with ourselves. It's showing, all of these crises are showing us how outside of balance we are with all of nature. And nature is demanding us also to connect. And how in its nature is connected among itself. So all of our egoistic qualities from year to year, even from day to day, grow very quickly. So obviously, if we continue to develop in such an egoistic sense, then we're opening ourselves more to the blows of nature. And this crisis, which is a very nice little hummingbird of what is to come in the future crises. And Kabbalah explains this entire process into which we have entered and what's to come. So now the situation is we're obliged to react to it very seriously. We have nowhere to go from this. We can't break apart from each other. And now, from our decisions, our wise decisions, which are in accordance to nature, that Kabbalah describes, says that there's nowhere to go from this because we came to a global level of connection. And this is how Kabbalah sees it. And there are all sorts of other details about this, but in general, you can say that this is the main thing. Thank you. Before asking our guest a question, I want to tell our viewers that our our show is live right now, and we're awaiting your questions on Cobb.tv, and the most interesting ones will be asked live during the conversation. So our guest, Leonid, we are asking, we know that you are traveling around the world in Asia, China, America. Your attitude towards the situation, the way that the world feels the crisis, how deep is the problem? What is happening right now? Well, before I talk about this, I just wanted to, I don't know, maybe argue or ask a question to Michael Lightman. Don't you think that it's very naive that we are able to explain to people that they have to care for each other? All of humanity, all of history, especially business, any sort of economy, first of all, it is built on the fact of how to earn superiority above others, and that only with others you can earn, only by using others that you can earn more money than them. So how can you expect to build an economic relationship with among people? So how can you develop economy on one hand, and on the other hand, not become superior to others? I understand that this is difficult. This is not easy. I don't think that the economy needs to develop in the way, in the direction in which it was developing. The goal of it has to change fundamentally. People have to understand, just as the world is round and everything in it belongs to everyone, just as what humanity produces belongs to everybody, so there's an equal distribution, an equal reception, an equal earning. Of course, it sounds fantastic. This is some sort of utopia, but communism in its most pure form. But now we see that America is making some sort of socialistic, unintuitive motions. How can you think about this even 20, 30 years ago? It wouldn't have occurred. But this is completely against its nature. It's against its basis. It's a capitalistic country. It's completely against it. They're giving money to the banks. So now we see that there are motions in this direction even today. So Kabbalah has to change the view of people. The thing that has to happen first is the revelation of the nature of the world to the person. Otherwise, the person won't survive. Understood. But to returning to your question as to how the crisis, if looking at it globally, not just through mass media, but and touching it in different countries, it calls forth negative reactions, different reactions. On one hand, there has never been such a crisis. It has never occurred before. In the financial systems that have existed in America, and the person admitted his mistake that he didn't value correctly the risk that was in the development of the economy, and he said that these sorts of tsunamis happen once in a century. So just this admission speaks volumes. And you think this is a completely normal tsunami? Oh no, they're not saying that. He's saying that once in 100 years this happens. So we're gonna live through it, and then it'll be this, and then the same thing will happen. And Rav says that, and in this they will die. And so assuming that they can listen to your words, or what Kabbalah says, they have to live today. They have to receive the functionality of a live economic system. Because what's happening from America to China, from Iceland, who is asking credit from Russia, to Africa, where there is an unending situation. Everything is going towards solving problems today. So we can say, all right, everybody, grab each other's hands, defeat, give us your gas and oil for free. Of course, you know, this sounds fantastic, but I'm afraid that nobody will give anybody, of course, Rav Leibman says, and are actually going to demand more money for it. And on the other hand, this crisis is making a global Japan in the first parts of the 90s, when there was an economic phenomenon, the opposite of inflation, called deflation, and it couldn't do anything with it. And people were being offered money, just pure money, but people wouldn't take money because they wouldn't know what to do with it. Building wasn't worth it because nobody bought anything. This is one of the dangers of that exists today. Maybe this is good from one side because a big financial bubble, which actually was the reason for today's crisis, when there was a second virtual economy that was created. There was created goods for, let's say, there were goods that were in reality worth $1 trillion, but on paper there were 2 or 3 trillion. And as silly as this is, people lived on this money. They developed on it. They lived on it. So, in sort of a on paper, this money went back and forth as credit. On this money, the economy developed. China grew, Brazil grew, India, the economy of Russia grew. This is all the goodness that was in these countries. The economic fortitude was built on this economy. So the central banks of these countries, as soon as we found out that all of these are just on paper and not real, they have to be released and fed out of the economy, so that the prices would deflate to what they're actually worth. So 100. So really, we have to return to where we have to decide what everything is worth, what it costs. Of course, this isn't built on a global market. First of all, the stocks, where they can play among each other. Yes, the stock is global. This was not the case 40, 50 years ago, that it was a global market. Let's say Argentina or Brazil, or the crisis hit these local areas, and then it hit Asia. So then you can run to another country and then hide there for a little while. Today, there's nowhere to hide because the crisis hit the financial system of every country, every bank. And they ended up in a difficult situation, to say it softly. And there's a great danger in this, because I think that this is a salvation, Rav Leibman says, because finally they understand that there's nowhere to run, and they have to be responsible for the whole world. Yes, possibly. Yes, you might be correct. However, they have to solve the problem today. And exactly, to solve today's problems, you have to see that they do depend on the entire global system. If they close their eyes to this, then they're preparing for themselves the next blow that's going to be even stronger than this one. Okay. Well, how can you not calculate if you're in charge of a system and it's closed? It's a closed system and connected. How can you just focus on one little part? I just want to mess with this part. I want to play with this part and ignore the rest. The entire system is in effect here. The global instruments here don't exist. When the Russian system, which is the basis of the financial basis of the world, which eventually led to its destruction, made a World Bank with the purpose of consolidating finances. And they were unable to do this because many countries weren't listening to these general recommendations, because the ego of each country individually brought it to the fact that this system didn't work. So we have to include this global egoism and make it in such a way that it doesn't ruin our mutual relationships and brings us again to this crisis. Yes, these people, as Soros and Warren Buffett, shown the highest of the people in the world economy, they admit the existence of this egoism. But on the other hand, they're not sure how to deal with it, because it's difficult to imagine for yourself, as you say, that people will start counting as all natural resources as everybody's, for example, and then start to use them together. Of course, there are some things that do exist in such a way. There are some programs where, in some countries, the money of the rich like the example of the debt relief in Africa, they just decided to relieve the leaf. So when same thing happened when Russia relieved the debts of Western Europe, and when other countries would buy guns and weapons, knowing that they wouldn't be able to pay for it. Well, okay, I wouldn't say it this way, because it's all based on egoism. So it's like saying that, you know, let's forgive them so they can buy guns from us again. So I wouldn't call this the correct mutual relationship between countries. But listen, people have to eat, and in order for them to eat, they have to work. And for them to work, they have to create something which you can sell, useful to somebody, and in return, they have to get something that they need for life. So, first of all, the governments of especially large countries, America and Europe, which are the main consumers of goods, and in Israel, actually. I met with an Israeli group today that said, on one hand, the ports are closed, are packed with goods that came to Israel, and that people can't buy, because people can't afford the goods. And on the other hand, there are packages that are bound for the U.S. that they can't unport because people can't pay for it, because nobody will buy it. So you're going to do something. You're going to take a painkiller, and instead of addressing the problem, which is a global issue, which requires a global solution. And I'm saying, okay, so your analogy with sick people, we know that he's sick. We have to bring him to the operation. Let's let him, taste the drugs. Let's let him do this to feel the cure. Today, how can you bring them to the successful operation? You're not thinking about the operation. If we were thinking about the operation from our actions from today, even our tiniest actions, our smallest, even our most egoistic actions would come with success, because we're in a closed system. If you weren't thinking about how to use everybody and how to earn people on, how to earn money from people, then none of these concepts would exist. If we were actually thinking about how to change the course, if we started thinking about this as a global humanity, as a global system, then no matter what we would do today, everything would start to work correctly. We can't give a shot, an injection, unless it will eventually bring the person to a successful cure in the end. When are they meeting? 15th of November. There was a scheduled meeting in November in New York of 20 countries.
Well, if this meeting will truly take place, then they understand that all of them depend on it, even the governments. Yes, they understand that they have to do something about it, and they can't come back with open hands. Where did you go then? They have to give birth to trust. among these financial systems between countries to get credit. Let's say I come there and I come back with nothing to our bank, to my bankers and our systems, with nothing in my hand. How do they look at it, and who am I in their eyes, and what am I sitting on? Well, if you're asking me, they will have to, like, invent something. I know, they have to conclude, as a minimum, they have to conclude about certain series of action. What do we do today, tomorrow, and afterwards? And probably the most important decision will be that, what to do in order for us to control the abilities of America to grow its external debt. Because the debt of America is, well, in the form of, you know, printing dollars around the whole world, and it's going to be one of the main themes that's going to be discussed. The leaders of the countries, by the leaders of the countries, of how to restrict this mechanism that was created by in 1944. They will try to advise the euro as another currency, and de facto maybe the yen even. And of course, no one knows how will America respond to it. It depends a lot the elections that will take place in 2 days. And even today, when there's a discussion about who will behave how in the upcoming few months, Obama or a McCain, but in truth, they might take the reins into their hands only after the 20th of January 2009, but the decisions that will be taken in practice after the 19th of November, it will be experienced by the new, by the American president. And I already saw on Israeli television advertisement. It wasn't even an advertisement. It was more of an announcement about how the whole world depends on the elections in America. Chose truly that from the elections in America, the whole process in the Middle East depends, and the whole environmental thing, because the Americans, they don't want to sign the treaty of throwing out all these things out into space and wherever. And if they lock themselves into their egoism in order to stabilize their egoism, it will hit very painfully all other countries that have manufactured everything for America, actually. To tell you the truth, I don't really care about the short-term what you give to a fatally ill for the short term. He won't die. Nature won't let him die, but it will bring him to such torments that he'll understand how to act. In our opportunities, if it exists, if the opportunity exists, if we have the opportunity, do we have the ability to bring somehow to humanity, or those who you think that seemingly are governing them, do we have the ability to bring them the true sense, the true understanding of the current events and their healing, the cure for them, by the correct remedy? For instance, let's say you can explain to them the principle, but after you explain to them the principle, they'll ask you, 6.5 billion people today need to eat. In order for them to eat, everything has to work and turn. We're not going, the only thing that we have to add to the situation, solve all your problems, but let's solve all these problems in a way that, I'll tell you a simple sentence. The tenth from what you earn for the education of humanity, for the future global education of humanity. Humanity has to have a global education for the future. For this, you have to give 10% of your earning. It's a law, by the way, of nature that is studied in Kabbalah. If you'll do this, if it will be arranged, the correct places of education, or to show people in practice where we are and what interconnected system, otherwise you can't make it, etc. If we'll include all the mass media possibilities and options we have that are in the hands of the government. There is no free mass media, as you know, it's all under the governmental rule. So accordingly, no matter which economical decisions you take and the realization, they will reach good results. Only because people will give 10%, the same people, it will be controlled by the same people that controlled it yesterday. And that doesn't matter. Nothing, no one will change, but will start being re-educated. They'll simply start understanding. They'll be explained to in what kind of a world they are. They won't be explained to something, you know, that has nothing to do with them. But in what world we're living as one body, as one organism, that we depend on each other, so we have to be interconnected with one another somehow, so each one depends on the others. And this way, and through gradual education, so they'll toss money into the sand, and they'll go, he'll know that his life and the life of the future life of his children depends on it. Otherwise, they won't make it. They will be living in an even more globally connected world. We can't hide from this. The world will constantly show its ever-growing interconnection more and more. Where can you hide from this problem? On the one hand, where it said, yes, a global crisis, and on the other hand, the word global, they don't understand how deep it is. Well, in truth, everyone understands this perfectly. If they understand that we can't see it on the results of what they do, they want to somehow grab it back, somehow to... We're talking here only about dissemination. Who will educate them? People will be found, don't worry. Those that... You know what? Take psychologists, biologists, genetic people, people that are involved in genetics, people that understand this whole global system. By the way, there are many, many very serious researchers about this. Organize really a world institution out of them that will tell people in truth where did we come to. We've entered a completely different level of development, a global one. We can't hide from this anywhere. We can't, by our past theories and approaches, we can't solve problems now. You see, in truth, many on Earth understand that there aren't enough resources on our planet in order to give 7 billion people a good living. I do not agree with this at all. The world can provide for hundreds of billions of people. Earth can give food to hundreds of billions of people. You have false calculations because they also come from not only your false utilization, but your false calculation of all of nature, which is to this moment opposite to us. These are uneconomical categories. No, I would say no, moreover, because you can't imagine the extent to which, and there are also researches to this day about this, how the crop depends not only on the amount of fertilizers that you pour on them and the conditions, but it depends on man. We have to take into consideration things that aren't only... We have to take into consideration things that aren't in our powers, in our abilities to control, but we completely depend on them. The climate, the different disasters, natural disasters and different things, we have to also take this into consideration. If the system is global, we have to understand why does nature refer to us the way it does? Why are there suddenly such problems, such eradications? When I say global, I mean completely all different influences of nature upon us. Of course, I don't know how can Earth provide for hundreds of billions. The problem today is to provide for 5 billions, because in truth, only 2 billion on Earth do not have problem with what they eat to this day, and 5 billion do have these problems, and maybe 2 billions of them simply are starving. And the problem is probably tied with the crop, with how people use it. But can you oblige those that use more today? Let's say that golden billion. How will you make them use less? How will you make them lower what they use? We have two ways. Either education, and by a good way, if they'll understand that it's preferable for them to do this, or by stick, not on my behalf, on behalf of nature, meaning constant systematic crises by which person becomes wiser and he starts already to differently behave and to differently to change the system in which he lives. You see, this is the same Americans from capitalism to socialism, going ahead forwards with a red flag. and another crisis, another two crises, and we'll see. Instead of Obama, there will be some communist there, Angela Davis, I don't know, or someone, or Nazism will come to force in all of these developed countries. Well, I would like to return now to economics, and then we'll talk about the coercion that lies ahead. To frighten people, it's not very productive. I'm not talking about frightening them, God forbid. By good means, you do not want to share your homes, your cars. Nature will punish you. No, this is why I'm saying education. Through the means of mass media to tell people, okay, very good, then they will willingly give it to explain to them in which nature they exist. Okay, people understood it. If they understood it, then in the supermarket he won't have 100 varieties of porridge, but 5, and it's going to be enough for everyone. And it's the very same with all other products. So you're actually offering a completely different sort of economy that's not built on initiative, that's not built on, no, God forbid, no. Because both initiative and all the other forms of it, it's the control of one over the other. I know how to do this, you don't. In your there is a coefficient missing from your equation, globalization, by using more or less, I depend on him. Clear. And therefore, if I eat twice as much, this blow will come back to me somehow. It's preferable not to do it, but to divide, not equally, but with everyone, and not for free, but to make it so that everyone will have for their effort. Very good. So let's talk about that effort, about that labor. In order for this video program to take place, some people had to invent the internet. They had to invent all the equipment, the satellites. This was invented by smart people, that there are always few of them, and organized all of this other smart people, that there's also not many of them. There is the initiative that they can realize, and that would move and moves all of the economy to this day. Imagine a situation where tomorrow a person will not have any stimuli to invent, to do anything, because all that he will do does not bring him anything. I completely agree with you. You think about it like a normal, egoistic, truthfully oriented, building his own businessman. I completely agree with you. I have another problem. I'm also a businessman, and I behave the very same way. But I don't really want to think about today and tomorrow, but I have grandchildren. And I would like... by the way, I'll ask you about children in a moment. And I also want them to feel good. How can I make it so that they will feel good? What count of calculation do I have to make now? Resources, economy, social decision, everything. In order for me to be more or less certain that not only me, how much do I have left there, but also the children, especially the grandchildren, will have everything. You mean that there will be built a more comfortable world where there will be secure, safe, first of all, secure and safe, and live comfortably. It means with equivalence, with the law of nature. Why does it mean that you have to know the laws of nature? We, humanity, are within nature. The still vegetative animate levels, all of nature completely keeps to the laws. All animals, all plants, everything is under the influence of this law. And also we, our body functions under the influence of these laws. But this world is also the result of these laws. Yes, but listen to me. I'm going to a doctor. He looks at all parameters. What condition are you in? Am I in internal balance, internal harmony? The only thing that it is not in internal harmony is man himself. He grabs everything. He does everything adversely. He hates others. He deviates nature. He tries to earn everything on account of others. He receives pleasure from others, feeling worse. Wait a second. This is our nature. This is our nature. By this, we are opposed to the global nature. If we do not put ourselves into balance with that nature, then gradually we'll lead ourselves to destruction. None of our systems to this day will work nor function if we will not take into consideration this, the homeostasis, the essence of life, the balance of the nature surrounding us. It demands of us to be completely in balance with it. You, in your business accounts, are opposite to it. Can't move further if you do not believe me. Then find it out after another crisis and another crisis, but the blows, they oblige a person to think. So I would like to prevent them. Okay, you're saying that a person does everything in order to grab from someone else. This is our nature. Okay, so what about inventing new forms of healing, new medicine that saves? This is a different form of egoism. Man, you know, you fought a lot, you engaged in business and in many other things. You know that egos, the people's egoism is expressed differently. It doesn't matter. But the matter is, in the global overview of all things, all questions, this is what we have to take into consideration. We don't know how to do it. But we're standing before this problem. Okay, you're saying that we don't know how to do it. So how do we have to behave? To educate. Gradually educate people. Show them that the world is like one mutual organism. You can't escape it. And parallel, not to do nothing, not to do anything about the country. To do. To stop and invent new electronical devices. No, why? Continue doing whatever you think is necessary. But if your direction will already be in order to come to balance with nature, then nature will refer to you in a good way. You are saying that nature has the ability to react. Wait a second. If I will throw this glass on the floor, will it not be attracted to the ground? So these are the laws. There are laws of society. What, we invented them ourselves, or we revealed them afterwards throughout the history of development? Any laws. Our inner laws, it's all built on genes, on some inner qualities of ours that are given to us by nature. We see now by all researches that all of it, it's not out of thin air. Where does it come from? Or you think that it simply suddenly appears out of its on its own as a result. Okay, we don't know all the formulas of this, but they exist. Meaning someone governs it. Nature itself, yes? But it is all locked harmoniously, and it demands of us to participate in this harmony, and we see it on all laws.
It goes towards balance. It goes towards balance. I completely understand balance, but regarding balance, I have to also do something. Any sort of action disturbs balance. No, the fact that you exist in egoism, which is opposite to nature, then your nature is against balance, then the action against your egoism is for balance. Well, I can't imagine for myself exactly. All right. Let's just assume. Okay, I can't imagine right now for myself. I don't see how this solves the problems for humanity right now. They don't. Only afterwards. You'll be able to liquidate the crisis, destroy it, if you push a huge amount of education into humanity. Huge amount of information. But the education. But our opinions are pointless to change. It's very difficult to change older people. It doesn't matter, but we just have to pump information into the world. If all these mass medias brought to us as something else instead, then we'll pay them. They'll mass media will pay for. So how are these mass medias going to get funded? They're going to get funded by the 10% that I was talking about. Who's going to pay for them? We're going to pay for $1 trillion, $750 million, billion, almost $1 trillion a year for the Iraq war. So they should take that instead of, you know, doing some sort of thing in Iraq. And this is just one thing. And then add this, a little bit of Putin, some of the Arab countries, anybody that has free money. So you're saying that we're all one whole, that we have to love, I don't know, like a Christian propaganda. So everybody love each other. No, not Christian propaganda. The study of nature will begin, and its laws, and our development. So, according to which books are we going to study? So, what books? No. It's not Kabbalistic books. There are plenty of books related to this theme that aren't related to Kabbalah. And we have to begin to create this international university. The thing that we lack is global education. Suddenly we came to a crisis and we don't know what to do next. We lack this understanding. And in fact, everybody's in this state. America, Russia, everybody that just discovered that they don't know how to go on. Like a little child that was standing there and all of a sudden it broke. This law, which is acting on us, all of a sudden, this problem, this is the first time it's before humanity. It's not going to come up every 100 years. It came up now. And from this moment on, we must go toward understanding this globalization. So business stays as business. Everything's going to develop and open, and people are going to keep having children. But the education of people, according to the law of nature, which was revealed to us. What are we learning? The law of Newton, some other laws. We have to first teach how to have a correct mutual connection among each other. We have to be connected among each other, as nature is tied to all of its parts on all of its levels, in perfect balance. Well, here I have to say one thing. In nature, we have good and bad. No, there isn't anything good or bad in nature, because nobody acts in nature. Nothing acts in nature in order to earn something from somebody else, in order to eat somebody else. So you're saying like a wolf that eats a bunny rabbit is eating this just to eat him, just because he has to eat him. He eats him. So then why do all the films instead show that the wolf isn't going to eat the rabbit? No, all of our movies illustrate that the rabbit kills the wolf, the poor wolf. No, everybody, the wolf doesn't use the rabbit for this. It doesn't kill 20 more rabbits. It just kills one, it eats, and it doesn't need any more. Yeah, but this one rabbit. Yeah, but today you buy 20 limousines instead of one. So, according to this logic, then even bad people, thieves and robbers, must be part of normal society because they're part of nature, or there won't be any. While society is such that it gives birth to these types of people, then of course they're going to exist. But if everything is according to nature, is led by nature, then what is the person is a result of its actions, of nature's actions. Yes, but the person is uncorrected specifically to elevate among himself, to elevate above his own nature. Then the question is why? Then why wasn't the person just made perfectly to begin with? Just we fulfill a law. Here, I wanted to eat half a rabbit. I ate it. I'm not going towards these complicated things. I'm just striving towards something simple. I'm basically an animal. On top of this, I get an egoistic desire, a very, very multitude of it, and all sort of multi-directional desire, in all sorts of manifestations. For what? If I, now, from my opposition to nature, begin to attain this law of nature, then I attain it. I don't follow it automatically. Otherwise, I would say an animal. I attain it, and it becomes part of me through education. Not only through education, but through its study. I begin to feel the nature, how I'm connected to it. So, let's say, I can't believe in this. Hold on. Just a second. I can't believe in this. How are you going to prove this to me? I'm sorry. I'll tell you. Today, all sociological studies, psychological studies, biological studies are all pointing toward, on the human level, we are tied as one organism socially. Proving this, we don't really have to especially do that because people feel this already. So what does it mean, a global village? How do we live in this global village if we all hate each other? Nature is forcing us to at least take each other into account. Yeah, but look, we're trying. You see, there are nations. No, come on. They're not. No, none of the nations aren't trying doing anything. There's a lack of global education. They don't know these bases. They're saying the same thing. There's globalization, integration, mutual connection, and what's next? They don't know what to do next. They're just pretty words. To study. No, to learn from scientists that are revealing these laws. These are laws of nature. They're not inventing these laws. They're just discovering them. So we have to rise from the level of biology to the level of society, from the mechanical level up to the level of society. Look into space. Look at how everything is in such harmony, all the planets and stars. And then people still are trying to steal from each other. On the level of... Imagine doing that... Imagine the imbalance of this in cosmic bodies or on the vegetative level. But people are doing this every day. So you want to say that if people now, well, suppose they agree with you. For our grandchildren, let's say, oh, let's continue our businesses. I'm not even going into this deal. But if you understand that globalization will continue and grow, and for children and grandchildren, look, suppose I'm not thinking about my grandchildren, but about society. But my children, and more my grandchildren, will really live in a small village. And I'm interested in making it in such a way that they're not going to be afraid to walk outside, that their neighbor is going to kill them, that they're going to get robbed. And this is what we have to think about. This is what the great people are gathering about, and this is what they have to think about. So they have to think about not how to solve today's problems. Yes, to solve them, but including with the result of our decision, what's going to happen next. They have to know what happens now. Right now, what they have to do immediately is global education. Yes. Well, it seems that we're delegating it to you, and you go and tell everybody. Yeah, why don't you come and talk to them? Because what you're saying, you have to believe in this. Well, it seems that it's very obvious. Maybe from a simple logic, but they're not going to be convinced from this logic. Well, it's built on clear biological and physical laws. And these are laws of nature, that you can't do anything. They're not made up. They're discovered. All of a sudden, somebody just stumbles upon them. Yes. Of course, today's culture, in the full global sense, is invented by a person. It's a substitution of the inabilities of a person. Excuse me, but... So you're saying that it was supposed to happen this way, and according to the laws of nature, this is what it was guided to. So the people in themselves aren't doing anything bad. No, not now. No. Now, nobody's guilty. But now people are responsible. Up until now, they weren't responsible, but now they're responsible. And they're going to get blows. And right now, they got a blow, and then they have the chance to act correctly. And if they don't, then it'll go on, and they'll get another blow. It's just like a child who's punished, and if he continues his bad behavior, he's punished again later. So it's just like society. It's just like these kids that don't understand why this thing is broken that they were just inventing. So this is similar to something that people that were saying a few months ago that something is bad, that they're saying now that everything was normal, sorry, a few months ago, but now they're saying that things are bad. They don't understand this word. They're not understanding the full magnitude of the word globalization. In the sense, in the understanding that comes from nature itself. There's nobody. There's no China, there's no Asia. Take this as you will. I realize that it's difficult, but all of America, and even including Russia, are just going to be involved in harvesting and moving things around, and I understand that education... Okay, if you start right now to give everything away, all oil, all products to all nations, from this, you're going to make it even worse. So, Africa, they're giving the last 30 years, and what? So yeah, look what happened there. It's only harvesting lazy and illiterate people. People don't want to work, people don't want to study because they were taught to act this way. Africa, by the way, 30 or 40 years ago, was exporting many goods and natural resources. And normally was developing, and then suddenly everything changed. They started doing revolutions and so on. But we don't have to be involved in this. This will happen automatically. Let's be involved in one thing, global education. This is what the world is lacking. The person doesn't understand how he's supposed to treat the world that he's suddenly found himself living in. So for global education, you need money, you need a system, you need to disseminate information, you need to print literature, to create all sorts of carriers for this information. So it's an industry again, which again, people have to create with their egoism, with their imaginations. So you think that there are people that think like you that are ready to do this? Yes, there are. There are people that exist like this, and for this, the 10% that I was talking about will be enough. And I'm saying that we have to put this 10%, this so-called 10%, which comes from which religion talks about. But 8 or 7, that's not going to go. Yeah, but again, look, you're going against the law of nature again. 10, and that's it. So, as you think, how do you think we can approach this? That's the question. So suppose for a minute, I convince you for a second. How can we approach this? The problem, as a stock manager, I imagine the difficulties that are here. Other than the pessimistic smile that you have, all of these things couldn't evoke anything. So suppose that we manage to carry this idea to the leaders of these countries. So yeah, all the products, 10% of all production, and they hear it. And then to imagine, I can't imagine how it's going to be realized. I can't imagine how they're going to agree to suddenly create a fund where people are going to be counting out. Somebody has to manage this. Somebody has to manage this for the greater good. Somebody has to regulate it. But we're not going to go anywhere. We elevate it to a level of the global world. Well, you're pushing away completely what's apparent. Then how can you act against this? Well, here they're saying they want to meet and they want to talk about how to build the economy in such a way so that everybody would have so that it would be equally good for everybody. Well, you can't explain to them unless you explain to them the laws of globalization. They're going to get stuck on their economy, and this is where everything's going to end. And they're going to set themselves up for the next blow, but after the next blow, they're going to be disillusioned in their combined actions. And their combined actions are going to bring an enormous blow to the world. It's going to be against nature. It's even more egoistic. It's going to consist of the sum of all of these egoistic entities, these governments. And then the next blow will blow them apart from each other. Having tried to to act individually, they're going to bring themselves to Nazi regimes and fascism. And here, the third step from here is the Third World War. So these prognoses also exist. And this would be bad if this happened. There are some questions I wanted to ask. There's a thing that some our viewers are participating also in this conference and are also suggesting solutions and are saying that it's not only economically if they can solve these problems, but political problems and possible military solutions. And the problems that are coming up now are have reactions. So if somebody loses half of their fortune within the crisis, how can you talk about a 10% from them? So I think the problem is actually something else, that there are many people without employees, that they're unemployed people, and it's not just the lower levels, but the intelligent people, the intelligentsia. A million of these white-collar people who are seriously beginning to argue against government. No, this is just a threat. This is a threat. This isn't just workers. These aren't blue-collar people. This is a very... In Russia, there's a weird situation. In Russia, there's a huge lack of people for labor, for managers and lawyers in Russia, for example, dealing with the unemployment issue. Another question, how do we support this idea from, let's say we go from economic solutions and military solutions, how do we approach the education idea? Everybody, economists and politicians, before making a decision, they have to realize that they live in a global world, and our global world will be more and more tied together. And we're responsible for these connections. It's impossible to ignore them, and no military or political or economic way can we reign over each other. If we can't, how can we keep in mind that the world is global? We can't make any decisions unless we involve every single country in it. America, Asia, every continent. So Bala Sulam says we have to sit on a bench with students and just learn. What does it mean that the world is global? We have to sit and learn and study. Our viewers are forcing, are demanding that you participate in this gathering of the G12. So, you know, we're not sure. We're not sure that you can participate, but one of the questions is, what do we have to do so that people will hear you? Well, we have to disseminate. We have to disseminate seriously through the internet and enter into these blogs, which exist today. By the way, for all the leaders of the governments, it doesn't matter if it gets to them or doesn't get to them. We have to give them all our materials on globalization and disseminate it as much as possible in the system of the world. And in the end, we'll be heard. This is always how themes are raised, from inside. So what do you think of the solution, Leonid? Yeah, I would like a solution like this. I understand what you're saying. Still, the connection between this and that, there has to be a solution. The most important is how to force people to do this without blows. How to do this nicely. Here, if you connect everybody, economists, cobblists, politicians, scholars, and everybody begins to create this one group which will lead the world, then it will be a new renaissance, and they'll be able to do this. And so you're saying that they worked on some sort of new, not like a Roman club or a Tel Aviv or Jerusalem club or Moscow, I'm not sure, to once again gather people together. But again, it's just going to be a small part. of the people that are willing, that are able to make decisions. It doesn't matter. Their influence will be heard. Okay. This is what I'm hoping for. The best of luck. Thank you very much. I wish everybody the realization of all of these plans.